Gary, Wendy, and Renee for that song. Good words in it. My mom, if she were alive, she would love the twang of the Hawaiian guitar in there, too. Good morning.
Morning.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm excited about Jesus. How about you? Let's give the Lord a clap offering. He's here this morning. And we just want to let people know, watching Facebook too, we love the Holy Spirit being here. We love the Lord Jesus Christ being here. We love the Father being here, the triune God. And he's here this morning. He's already reading our hearts. I have a message this morning. It might be a little touchy. Praise the Lord. Everybody wondering what that is? Well, anyway, I just want to say up front, I'm not preaching this sermon to offend anybody, to ridicule anybody, to bring shame to anybody, to embarrass anybody. In no way. I care about people. And I'm praying that this message will be one that will be looked at as an encouragement and a help in our life as we move forward on our journey to heaven. And that's what it's all about. And anybody watching from Facebook, the same goes for you. We're not here to hurt, to shame, to ridicule or anything. If we couldn't preach on subject matter, we couldn't preach at all, because there's something, somebody's involved in something and they are always offended or might be offended, and you just got to go forward and trust the Holy Spirit. But I believe the Lord gave me this message. I kind of got angry at a program or a social media thing that's running a lot lately. I don't know if any of you've seen it, but my message today is called Gluttony. Steal, kill, and destroy. And it made me angry because Satan is subtle. And today there's a programs with people throughout the country who are now literally, I would say, eating themselves to death. How much can they devour in an hour? I watched one guy that did 8 pancakes, the size of a pizza pan, about a half inch thick, with all the syrup and all the butter and the eggs and the hash browns and everything that went with it, big globs of it. It was a tray this big as this here. I've seen a guy eat a 5-pound cheeseburger with all the fries and the Coke that goes with it. Made me angry, and I'm thinking how people are being brought in and how subtle Satan is today, even within the church, how people are giving into things. And we need to be aware of that. And I don't know, has anybody ever heard a message on gluttony before? Yeah. Nobody? Just one? Okay, that's good. Two? Okay, great. We got two people. So now we got a whole crowd of you. But please bear with me as I go through this. And that, like I say, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help you to receive it in the right way, that I am no way putting anyone down whatsoever. As a pastor, it's my job to help people to be aware of things in our lives, including mine, as I preach this, that will help me to live and to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in all that I do. And that's what it's really about. And if this is an area that you have a problem with, then let the Holy Spirit work with you. And we will pray with you, because we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Whatever issue you have in your life, we're here to help. We're here to encourage. We're not here to condemn or to hurt anybody in any way. And I want you to be aware of that up front. You watching by Facebook too, if you're watching, we're only preaching things that will help you and I to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and become people that honor our Lord. Amen? Amen. So I'm just going to start with it and kind of follow through. I'm not going to be long-term on it, but I am going to preach it here. So kind of listen all the way to the end, so you kind of think I'm not pointing a finger at certain people or anything like that, because I'm really not. But it is a touchy sermon. I knew that, even saying, Lord, I don't even know if I want to do this. But I just feel in my heart I'm going to touch on it, because if it can help some people, then it needs to be preached on. Amen? We all need help. Hallelujah. But that's my responsibility, and I'm going to stand with it no matter what the consequence or anything. I'm going to preach the Word of God like I told you before. I'm not going to stand back on any subject matter that Satan would try to cover up in our lives. And this is one issue I think has been the least preached, if never preached, in a church, because they're afraid that we're going to offend somebody. But I can preach on just about anything, and there's going to be somebody that's going to be offended. So you got to preach what the Holy Spirit gives you. And there's different things that this past week I just felt confirmed that I need to preach on this. How many know there's a program on TV, My 600-Pound Life? Isn't that sad? But yet today we have people glorifying it. We have QVC, marketing places like this and other channels, that are glorifying people being overweight, obese, and trying to make them all feel comfortable. Well, we want people to feel comfortable, but we want them to feel comfortable in knowing that they're doing the best they can for the Lord. Amen? Amen. We don't want to glorify something that's going to destroy a life. And it's all about money, to be real honest with you. About exercise equipment, sports, all of that. It's all about money. And Satan is subtle. And so just bear with me. The Bible's warning against gluttony are mostly indirect. And there's no verse that comes out and says gluttony is a sin. Neither is there one that says smoking. But we know it destroys lives, don't we? But gluttony is the same way. However, when we consider what gluttony is and the biblical principle that apply, our conclusion is to be that gluttony is a and can be a sin in a person's life. Gluttony is eating to excess and can be seen as a form of greed, of selfish desires for something which Jesus warned us to guard ourselves against. All kinds of greed. All kinds. Colossians chapter 3, if you bought your Bibles, you can follow me or just watch on the screen. Colossians 3:5 says, mortify, that means put to death, therefore your members which are upon the earth, and that's speaking of the works of flesh. Fornication, uncleanness, and here it is, ordinate, which means excessive, exceeding reasonable limits. Affection, which is our passions, concupiscence is our desire, and lust and covetousness, which is idolatry. We're to mortify those things in our bodies. We're to put it to death. Gluttony can also be seen as a lack of self-control. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, which is self-control, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. God is telling us that we need to use self-control. And that's what the work of the Holy Spirit does. He sanctifies us in our life, not just in this subject matter, but in anything that has a tendency to control us. That can be watching TV, being entertained. It can be a multitude of things. But the Lord is telling us here that we are to have self-control. And we get that from the Holy Spirit as we obey the Word of God. We learn to sanctify. We learn to have self-control in different areas. But we need to be told once in a while, don't we? We need to be aware of it so that we can attack whatever the enemy is trying to bring up on our life. We need to be aware of that. A study found that church members tend to be more overweight than the general population. I agree with that, don't you? Gluttony is perhaps the most tolerated sin in American Christianity. Gluttony. 65% of all professing Christians are overweight and out of shape because, but not always, they are mastered by their appetites. And we need to be honest with ourselves sometimes, don't we? Sometimes it hurts, but we got to be honest with ourselves. Overeating is clearly a problem in our society and the church. We need to address it, and it's not being addressed. And somebody might be here this morning and say, well, I don't have any problem. I've always been thin. And so it doesn't affect me, and so I don't even know why I'm here today. Well, you're here today because the Holy Spirit wanted you here today. because maybe one day you'll have a problem with it. You never know. Maybe you know somebody in your family or somebody that's got the problem, and you can encourage them in the Word and not to bring condemnation upon them whatsoever, but to encourage them, to help them to get victory over whatever is controlling their life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Now that's the Word of God, isn't it? Let's hear an amen on that one.
Amen.
That's the Word of God. Everything that we do to the glory of God, to glorify Him. So overweight and physical inactivity account for more than 300,000 premature deaths each year in the U.S., second only to tobacco-related deaths. Think how Satan is destroying God's creation through lack of self-control, through gluttony. Satan is doing a work upon God's people, and we need to come against it in Jesus' name. Obesity and overweight are linked to the nation's number one killer, heart disease, as well as diabetes and other chronic conditions. It all fits in. We see what's happening. Satan, sickness, disease coming against us. Overweight and obese people are at increased risk for developing conditions like coronary heart disease, stroke, hypertension, sleep apnea, other respiratory problems, along with several types of cancers and even death. Now, we know that even thin people get sick and have diseases and everything too. But when we are out of self-control and whatever that thing is that is affecting our body, it's going to create problems in us, and it's going to catch up to us sooner or later. And we just need to be aware of that. Yet many Christians are destroying the temple of God with excess food, insufficient sleep, and physical inactivity. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And that's the sad part of it, because we see that overweight, and there always will be people that are overweight and have health issues and different things that affect their genetics and things like that. But when we purposely are destroying ourselves, Satan is glorified in that sense. And we need to be aware of it. And if we are honest with ourselves, we can control a lot of it if we do have that problem. But did you know that you don't have to be overweight to be a glutton? You can be as thin as a rail, and you can have a problem with gluttony. I know sometimes. My wife's got to keep me away from the ice cream boxes. I could eat that whole thing. When I was little, I used to eat a half a gallon. My brother, my twin brother and I and my other brother, we used to each buy a half gallon of ice cream and go and hide somewhere and eat the whole thing by ourselves. And I was glutton. We gluttonized. So it isn't just people who are having problems with being overweight. We need to all be aware of it. Satan will steal our health. Amen? He's after us. A drain on our finances. When we get sick, where do we have to go? We go to the doctor. The doctor gets our money. Because issues started happening because we started doing things that are affecting our body, and now we have to take care of it. Our livelihood. The things that we enjoy doing, the things that we would like to do, we can no longer do because maybe we are to a point where we can't move around and do the things we are. One day I was at Aldi's in St. Cloud here a week ago or so, and I walked past a young guy, and it almost broke my heart. He looked like he was probably in his late teens, early 20s. He was sitting in a car, and he was level with the dash. My guess, he couldn't even get out of the car. And I think to myself how Satan has lied to that young man. I don't know his problems or anything, but as all I could see is somebody that does not or is not able to live his life the way he would love to do it because of gluttony, if that is his problem. And my heart went out to it. And I think how many people today have that same issue. And Satan does. He does not only wants to kill us, he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our testimony before a loving Heavenly Father. And that's his goal, and it always will be. And we can't blame God. We have to, sometimes we got to take, even compared with any other thing we call sin, even drinking. There's people who don't call drinking sin, but it's a sin. It destroys. And Jesus said, drunkards will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And we need to address those types of issues. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. We need to let the spirit control the flesh. We got that power. If you're in here this morning and you are a born-again Christian, you're watching by Facebook, you're born again, you're blood-bought, you're full of the Holy Spirit. God gave you and I the power to overcome even the desire and the lust of the flesh. Plus, the love of food and drink can also become an idol in our lives. Exodus 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Some people have made food their god. They can't live. They eat to live. They don't live to eat. Did I say that backwards? I said it backwards, didn't I? I'll turn around. You know what I mean. But we need to be aware that food can become an idol to us. Jesus overturned the idolatrous tables in our hearts. And he, driving out with a whip all the cravings within our hearts, he gave us the power to overcome. We do not have to serve our stomachs any longer. Christians, we're free. Satan has lied to many of us. We're free to overcome even eating habits. We do not have to eat to live in that sense. If it's overeating, you have the control to stop it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that should be encouragement to us. Amen? We are not under the bondage of Satan allowing us to die because of the lust of the flesh. That if you find yourself overeating or doing, whether you're thin or a larger person, doesn't make any difference. If you find yourself that you can't control that area of your life, you do have the power. Satan's lying to you. You can put the stuff away. It's not easy sometimes. It takes work, but the spirit can overdo the flesh. While some excessive weight problems may be due to medical problems, and they can be, being overweight may also indicate a spiritual problem in a person's life. And I've known people like that too, that they've gained weight because of severe spiritual things going on in their life and rejections and all kinds of things. God created in us both a need for food and the capacity to enjoy the pleasure of food. I love food. God wants us to enjoy food. He made it. And we're to enjoy it, but we're to use self-control. The problem comes is when we overfeed ourselves and allow our lust for food to control or harm us. You know, in America, you go to a restaurant, maybe it's a little less now, but you go into a restaurant and you buy a meal. You notice how much food is on your plate? A lot. I mean, we grew up poor. Our meals were never that big. Not most of the time. I mean, you know, crackers and milk, bread and milk. That's what we had for a meal. And we all survived. But today you go into a restaurant and somebody get mad. Hey, you need to give me 6 more links of sausage. I paid for it. Well, sometimes maybe it's a blessing you didn't get those extra 6 links. And we got to look at it that way, realizing that God does not want us to kill ourselves even by eating the wrong thing, too much of the wrong thing, or too much of it. Bible stories like feeding of the 5,000, the wedding of Cana, and the Last Supper all the center on food and celebration involving food. The problem comes when we overfeed ourselves and allow our lust for food to control or harm us. That's where the problem comes in. The Bible condemns overindulgence in many things, including food, because God knows it will destroy us eventually. Proverbs 23, verses 1-3. It says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat. If thou be a man given to appetite, be not desirous of the dainties, for they are deceitful meal. That means the food itself, the delicacies. If we are given to overeating. That's a pretty harsh statement, isn't it? Putting a knife to our throat. Now, naturally, God doesn't want us to commit suicide. That's not what it's saying. Many are stuffing themselves to a slow death. And that's what is heartbreaking when I saw these movies, these videos of these people just doing it, and they had the rooms full of people clapping for them, and many of the people in there were, you could see, were having problems with overeating too, and they're clapping for these people just gouging and shoving food down into their mouth. And they're destroying their lives. They may not be destroying their lives, I don't know, but maybe some of the people watching, it justifies the way they eat. And encourages that. So we need to be that way. I would never walk up to somebody that is having a problem with being overweight and make any kind of a comment to them whatsoever, because there's many things that happen in your and my life that contributes to. Some of it is a lust of the flesh. Some of it is I desire food. That is what I live for. And we need to be aware that if that is a problem. But there's a lot of people out there that have overweight problems for a lot of different things. Even medications can create problems. All sorts of things. So I'm preaching this sermon out of love to you. I truly am. It's not to, like I said earlier, it's not to judge, to condemn, to ridicule, to shame, to embarrass anyone. Because a lot of people have the problem. I read that. 65% of people in the church. Huh? It says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. We don't own ourselves. God does. And if whether it's eating, drinking, or anything else that is affecting this temple and it's destroying it in any way, we're accountable to God. Right. We're accountable to Him. It's been said, in society in which cookbooks outsell the Bible 10 to 1, food and dieting has become a god that rules the masses with an iron spatula. And it does. I know this can be difficult because it's so much easier to be a couch potato consuming food, watching TV, than it is to get out and exercise and work to be healthy, as healthy as you can be. 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. That means good and profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. If you're under the power of food, you don't need to be. Right. You have victory. You can tell your friend, if you have a friend that's dealing with it, tell them you do not have to be under the power if they're a Christian person. You can tell them that in love. And let them know that they don't have to live out their life that way. In other words, I will not tolerate anything. I will not tolerate anything that to control me or have authority over me that is not good or profitable. I will not allow it to happen. And that's not easy, like I said, sometimes when it's right in front of you or somebody else has it in front or you're watching the food channel. Whatever. There's something out there entice you and I to destroy these bodies some way. And it's so subtle and it's so good. Food's good. But it's how much we consume and what we consume that destroys the body, can destroy the body. And we need to be aware of that. Gluttony is being mastered by our appetites. And while it most specifically pertains to food and drink, it can include any natural desire or need taken beyond healthy boundaries. And that includes taking medications, drugs, things like that can destroy us. Gluttony has a lot in common with lust. Desires in that they are natural, legitimate, God-given appetites. But somewhere along the way, they wander beyond health boundaries. And people who are indulging in them outside of God's prescription find themselves out of the control and out of the bounds. James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So see, we have the power to refrain from overeating. Amen? Amen. I knew it was going to be super quiet in here today. Since you can't hear a pin drop, I thought I'd bring a steel bar. The scary part is that Paul equates gluttony with paganism and worldliness. It says in Philippians chapter 3, 18, 19, for many walk of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping. Even tell you weeping. Paul wept over this. That they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. Their God is their stomach. People who live for food to fill their bellies. Paul's point is that only the worldly and unsaved man lives for his human appetite, the unsaved. But those whose citizenship is in heaven, who have been saved, it's not about attempting to quench our fleshly appetite that matters, but our honoring God, which should be priority. Everything that we do, we should want to honor God. Amen? Because people are watching us. And they're judging God by how we are sometimes. They shouldn't, but they do. And we need to be aware of that. Gluttony is a problem that can never be satisfied or filled. Gluttony. It can never be. They have insatiable appetite. They seek to fill the things of this world. Gluttony, from a biblical perspective, has to do with self-indulgence. It's taking into your body more than your body needs. I crave, so I cave. Yeah. I understand that stuff. Like I said earlier, you don't have to be overweight to be a glutton. Many of us fight with it. One time my doctor even told me, you know, with people with heart problems, and he looked at me, he said, hey, don't think it's just people come in here that have weight problems that have heart problems. He said, I've had people in here thin as a rail come in here, athletic people, and a year later they dropped dead. Some of them were eating things they shouldn't eat for whatever. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. God gave us appetites and he intended us to enjoy food, but gluttony is overdoing it and overindulging. I got to keep saying it. That's what gluttony is. Gluttony is intoxicating. Many people are so addicted to food that they have specific cravings and inability to say no to it. But we actually do. As a result, their appetites control them, consume them, and will eventually condemn them. The reality of gluttony, Proverbs chapter 23, 20-21. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Now, let's be clear. The warning against drinking, that's fermented wine, by the way, or other intoxicating drinks. It also prohibits gluttony. That's scripture. I brought it up to you. In our traditional Christian thinking, we separate drinking and drunkenness from overeating, but God doesn't. God doesn't do that. He says that they are both wrong. Gluttony is putting the things of this world before the things of God. Gluttony is perfidy. You ever hear that word, perfidy? Perfidy is defined as an act of violating faith or allegiance, violation of a promise or a vow or a trust reposed, faithlessness and treachery. That's what that means. We need to ask the Lord, is that me? Holy Spirit, is he preaching to me today? We need to ask. If you're watching by Facebook, am I preaching to you today? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you today? The Bible says only a fool goes against what they know is right and good, and to venture down a path contrary to God's best is it's ignorant and it's very foolish when we know it's going to harm us and others. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now we know if we overindulge, it's going to affect our bodies physically, mentally, emotionally too. And if we know that eating six pizzas instead of one, it's going to kill us, and we still go ahead and do it, then that makes us foolish, doesn't it? It's a sin. If we know we're eating too much ice cream, like me, and I go ahead and do it, I'm sinning. I don't need a whole half gallon of ice cream, do I, Ruth? She always said, put that ice cream away. Sin of omission, failing to do what God wants us to do, they're sins. I'm going to say that again. Sins of omission, failing to do what God wants us to do, are sins. Just as surely as sins of commission, doing what God has told us not to do. Same thing. Gluttony will cause you to become drowsy and lazy because you're too tired to get up and get up even to work. You eat past capacity and then need to go and find a place to sleep. I can relate with even after eating a turkey dinner. It robs us of energy and robs us of completing our work. What is the first thing you want to do after a big meal? You want to rest, amen? That's what you want to do. Too much to eat or drink makes you lethargic and incapacitated. And that's what the devil wants to do in our life. He wants to take away the joy of living. He wants to make you depressed. And he will use gluttony to do it because he appeals to the lust of the flesh. He's smart in his sense. But that's why Jesus died on the cross. He came and defeated that. So I can run to the cross and say, Lord, I do not have to eat myself to death. I refuse to do it. Gluttony is a poison to your body. Gluttony will have a dramatic effect upon your health. You will bring harm to your body, which will eventually catch up with you. And it will. And I won't go through all the statistics. I don't want to bore you with it, but I did some research on it, and it affects a lot of things in our lives, people. And it's all satanic, because I believe sickness is of the devil. And I believe all these things that comes upon us because we do not control ourselves. When we know we can. I'm not talking about people who have genetic problems or things in their life that have caused overweight or obesity in their life, but things that you and I know that we have control over. Satan will destroy us in a nanosecond. Gluttony will bankrupt your body and bring poverty to your life. And we can verify that in some cases. But God wants us to enjoy your blessing of food. Most of us will not have a problem with this one. First, we need a proper understanding of food and drink. Food and drink are viewed as a gift from God and an indication of God's blessings. Thus, we must learn to eat healthy as we can in this society and proportionately and enjoy every morsel. Food is nothing more than fuel for the body. That's what it is. What you put in your mouth, into your body, will determine how efficiently your body will function. Most people need the support of others. That's why we have fellowship. That's why we have church. And don't ever let any Christian say, you don't need to go to church. Yeah. I heard one guy put it this way, we don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Well, if you're married, do you not have to go home and see your wife? Pretty soon you kind of lose connection, don't you? But we need connection when we have issues in our life, whatever that is. If it's drinking, being a drunkard, being a gluttony, whatever it is, sexual problems, pornography, whatever it is, we, the body in Christ, together, we can make it. We can encourage one another. And that's why God is calling you and I to come together. We need a designed hitter, someone who will be truthful. How many like truthful? Not everybody. Sometimes you tell people the truth, they get mad at you. But we need people who are going to be truthful to you. And as a pastor in a church, I'm going to be as truthful as I can to help people. Never to point a finger. Never. Because I get these ones pointing back at me every message I do. But my responsibility before God, because I got to stand before him one day and give answer for everything I say here, everything. And I'm only here this morning with this topic is to encourage people. If you're watching by Facebook, social media, I'm here to encourage people that warn you that there's a devil that wants you to be a glutton. Because he knows he can destroy you. But you have control. You can have the victory through Jesus Christ. Why do you think Weight Watchers and LA diet are so successful? Because they build in accountability through with the weight and pay plan. They know how to do it. But we have the church. Yeah. I need somebody to come up and say, hey, you know, you're doing this. You know, I know you might not like to hear this, but you shouldn't be doing that. It's going to ruin you. It's going to ruin your family. It's going to hurt your family. It's going to hurt you. It's going to rob you of your finances. It's going to rob you of your health. It's going to make people reject you. That's truthfulness. And we need to hear that sometimes. Train your body. Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, say that with me, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. Self-control. That's what God is working out in each and every one of us when we desire to obey the Word of God. He's building self-control in us. If you have a weakness, whatever is in your life, you can have self-control. If you feel you're out of control right now, you can get self-control through the power of the Holy Spirit and going to the cross and asking for forgiveness. God gave that through the Holy Spirit. Training is an issue of personal discipline, self-control, and determination. I'm determined I'm going to keep my life in order for the Lord. If I'm not where I belong, I'm, Lord, with your help, I'm going to get back to where I belong. I'm going to work hard. Whatever it takes, I'm going to glorify you in my body, and I'm going to refuse whatever that is, what's set before my eyes, what I'm eating, what I'm drinking, whatever it is. I refuse to do it if it'll bring dishonor to you, God. Not because the preacher said it, but because God said it. He loves you so much. He warned us of these things that are going to come into our life, and they're destroying people. And gluttony, like I said earlier, is one of the least things ever mentioned in the church because we're afraid somebody's going to get hurt. But I'd rather tell you now than have you get hurt and die young. Yeah. And suffer things you don't need to suffer. You know, medications are expensive. Did you know that? They're terribly expensive. The medical industry is just billions of dollars. And they want to keep us eating, drinking, whatever we do, whatever we desire, the lust of the flesh, they encourage it. Because eventually they're going to get something out of it. That's how Satan works. And that's why I want to warn my brothers and sisters in Christ, watching in this room, whatever, that together we can make it. And those that want help or need help or just need to be encouraged from day to day because they're struggling with something. I understand struggles. People who deal with stuff like that, it's not easy. It takes work. But together you and I can encourage somebody. Amen? We can love our brothers and sisters, whether they're thin or medium or thick or whatever. We love each other's. Yeah. That's the way Christ has called us to do it. Will I beat my body to make it to do what I should do? Or will I live under the influence of my desires, seeking only to address the lust or the desire the moment that arises? It says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body, this is Paul speaking, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That means disapproved. See, I said this, I think, last week or the week before. Paul, when he dealt with whatever he was dealing with in his life, because he knew what things were overcoming life, he literally would beat himself when you get into a study on it to remind himself, don't eat. Don't eat too much. And he would bring his body under subjection. He would mortify. He would put to death that desire by being aware of it at all times in order to get the victory. And that's what you and I need to do. Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. I'm going to say that again. Scripture. Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. That's a great promise, isn't it? See, God put that in there because he's smart. He's the one who created us. He knows how our bodies work. Will I have the right attitude towards food and drink? Desire to be mastered by God and not by the God of food? I'd much rather have God control me. See, when we come to Christ, we make Him not only Savior, we make Him Lord. Is He Lord over our eating habits? Truly. Is He Lord? Is He Lord over our drinking habits? Is He Lord over our sexual habits? Is He Lord? Do we put Him first to honor everything that we do? The way we speak? Is He Lord of my speech? Is He Lord of what I look at? Is He Lord of what I do in privacy? That's what meaning Lord. He wants to be Lord, not to control us, but He knows the right way. He knows the right path to take you down in order to give you an abundant life. And then I'll just touch on this quickly, and then I'm coming to that famous word. The concept of fasting. Fasting. Fasting is refraining from food for the purpose of disciplining your body to trust in the Lord to be your provision. You know, when I started, I was a young Christian, I started, the first time I fasted, we had to fast for 2 days at a men's retreat. First time I ever did it because I was a newer Christian. And so I did that, and the second day I thought I was going to die. Literally. I mean, I thought, man, I don't know if I can make the whole day. And then one of the pastors got up that was preaching that morning, and he looks out at the crowd of guys, and he said, ha! He said, I'll bet you some of you guys out there feel like you're going to die. Just about every hand went up. But it's how Christians discipline his food or lust or desire to food. When you fast and you learn and you come before God, you deny your body the thing that it's craving. I want, I want, I want. But when you say, Lord, I'm going to fast that today. I started fasting. I went up to a full week of fasting as I did it more and more. And I found out in my life, personal testimony, that when I fasted a full week from Monday to Friday, at the end of Friday and then going beyond, the things that I did not have so much control of, I found out that I could speak to it to no longer have control over me. Because I denied my flesh what it wanted, and my spirit, I walked in the spirit rather than in the flesh. And I was all by myself because I was a traveling salesman, traveling all over, and I didn't have accountability to my wife or anybody else. I could eat anything I want and tell everybody, boy, did I fast this week. But you know who I was doing it for? For Jesus. Yeah. I wanted Him to know that I meant business with Him, that I do not want anything in this world to control me. And so I'm going to fast. And God helps. Am I perfect? Ruth, am I perfect? No. What? The least person I thought would say that. But anyway. No, long way to go for me too. 1 Timothy 4:7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Don't let somebody come along. You say, you eat whatever you want. Don't worry about people. And that's what they're being taught today. Even young people. I see young girls and young guys that they flaunt around and they're overweight and their bodies are way out of shape. And they say, I love my body. I love the way I look and everything. No, they don't. They're hurting like crazy inside. But the world is trying to encourage them to be what they want them to be. And we need to be aware of that. So much so that God clarifies that taming the desires of the flesh, including gluttony, is essential for godliness. So in conclusion, there it is. Changing our eating and exercise habits isn't easy. But with the help of our Lord, it says in 1 John 5:14-15, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there's no law. That's what God's trying to work out in you and I. Gluttony, like the other sins, it comes down to the issue of trust, trusting the Lord. Will I trust God to be my provision? And will I follow the principles established in His Word? Will I hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God provided at the cross? Will I trust Him to get me through this? One pastor put it this way. The greatest enemy of hunger for God is not the poison, but the apple pie. It's not the banquet of the wicked that dulls our appetite for heaven, but the endless nibbling at the table of the world. So much truth in that. Matthew 5, 6. Let's all stand, please. I want to end it with this scripture. Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. That's God's desire for you and I when we follow a holy and righteous God. So this morning, I'm not going to embarrass anybody or anything. I just want everybody to bow your head. And this is my main thing today, too. If there's anybody that came in here this morning or watching by Facebook with every head bowed and eye closed if you want to, in order to get victory over these things, we need a relationship with Jesus. But most of all, we need salvation. Jesus came and died on a cross so that he would pay the price for the sins in our life. Because he knew that dying without him, we would either enter a heaven or a hell. So he made a way to reconcile us to him by dying on the cross and taking our place. And I want to ask you this morning, is there anybody in this room this morning that would say, Pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never made him Lord. Is there anyone this morning? Just raise your hand quickly. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. Is there anybody who would say, Pastor, I've never made him my Lord, my Savior? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. But we don't have to die in our sin. Is there anybody? Anybody watching by Facebook, if you're at home, I'm just going to say a prayer before we dismiss this morning. Because this is the most important thing, that you have a right relationship with Jesus. If you're not ready to die, you're in trouble. There's appointed on the man wants to die, then the judgment. We just read last night, a 58-year-old woman, a news anchor on CNN, died. But she didn't expect that at the age of 58. I just read of a 20-year-old woman that just died instantly out of nothing happened. She didn't know that either is going to happen. And that's why I want to give an opportunity, if there is anybody in here that you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord or your Savior, you can do it right now here this morning. Is there anyone? I don't see any hands or anything, but I'll leave that up to the Holy Spirit. It's not my job to save. It's the Lord's. And if you want to talk to me after the service, you're more than welcome to do that also. But with every head bowed right now, I just want to pray for you and I as the body of Christ, and you watching by Facebook, that we're all dealing with something in our life. And today my subject matter was gluttony, overindulgence. And Heavenly Father, we come before you. You know, some of us struggle with things, and for some other people, it's not a struggle at all. It's a very easy thing. But Lord, for those that do, Lord, I bring them before your throne of grace and mercy right now, because you do not look at them with contempt, judgment, condemnation. You look at them with love and want them to know that life can be so much different when you are Lord. That when they turn to you and say, God, help me to refrain from what I'm doing in my life right now. The devil's a liar, that I should accept the way I am without change. But Lord, you're doing a work in each and every one of us right now, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, that you will give these people, my brothers and sisters that are struggling in this part of their life, that you will give them the strength to overcome, that you will put the proper desire within their hearts and lives, as your word, which is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, will begin to manifest within their life when they say, I refuse that food. I refuse to take an extra bite because I don't need it. I feel satisfied. Then that's the time. Lord, help me to walk away from my plate. Help me to turn away from things that are destroying me, Lord. And Father, you said you not only hear me, you're going to answer me. And I know that you're going to convict me each and every day. Not condemn me, but you're going to convict my eating habits from this point on to help me to get self-control. And anybody in here dealing with any other kind of sin in their life, that's destroying them or leading them down the wrong path. Holy Spirit, I ask that you bring conviction into their hearts and lives before it's too late, and that they repent. Help us to repent of tearing down these temples that you've given us, Father. Help us to make you truly Lord, not just Savior. I don't want to just be a Christ follower. I want to be a born-again Christian, blood-bought, filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that over every person in there, every home right now. Lord, let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to every heart. And we thank you and we praise you, Father. And we love you. Everybody just reach up, put your hands up in the air right now. Because it's all about him, his love for you and I, and what he did on the cross. And just speak out loud wherever you're standing right now. And even if you speak in your language, your heavenly language, do it. Just praise him right now, just for a moment. Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your written word. Lord, we magnify you, we glorify you, for you are the mighty God. And Lord, your Bible, your written word has the answer to every need that these people have. And I thank you, Father. Thank you for guiding me in my life and taking me down the journey on the way to heaven to be a man of God or a woman of God, whatever the person speaking. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness and your love and your kindness. Your heart's broken for those that are suffering in this world because of desires and lusts that you've given us victory over on the cross. So, Lord, we just surrender everything to you right now in the name of Jesus. Touch every home. Lord, bless every home financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, domestically, whatever it is, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit touch each home and let us come back together as the body of Christ on fire for you, filled with your righteousness, a thirst for your righteousness, a thirst for your holiness, to do what you want us to do, God, to help us to be the man or woman that you designed us to be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray it, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at somebody on your way out. Have some good fellowship and tell them that I thirst and hunger for righteousness. Come on. I thirst and hunger for righteousness. The Lord bless you. I will pray with anybody who would like prayer too. Helen, what do you say there, young lady?